I'm with John Greaves at the at Kemen Industries, and we've been talking a lot and hearing a lot of really great information. And I have to tell you, I'm absolutely fascinated by the things that you're doing with rosemary and mint and marigold. Tell me a little bit about how important it is to grow the rosemary and what you're doing with it.
Okay, well, as I mentioned during the presentation, plants are a phenomenal source of green chemistry. And of course, we're in an age of sustainability. So we have to produce chemistry that is renewable. And but not all the chemistry that's of interest to us is in conventional crops like corn or soybeans or wheat or rice. And so we have to take plants essentially that are wild, and we have to convert them into a row crop and put row crop practices in place, full cropping system development in place, to be able to grow them as a source of extractable biomass. So rosemary, for example, is phenomenal. It has a wide range of molecules, as you could see from the HPLC chromatogram, and our job is to search from within those molecules to find ones that are important for life, whether that's food preservation or general human health and well-being, and that's what we're doing.
One of the things that you mentioned were the antioxidants that come from rosemary. Who knew?
Well, that's a good question. The scientific literature is packed with examples of the molecules that are there that work as antioxidants. So I'm not going to go into details on that. I mean, the scientific literature is full of those. The key is how to grow rosemary as a source of those molecules in an economically viable way. So we have to search for plants that produce enough of them that we can produce them on a scale which is economical. We can then formulate them and provide them to our customers at a price which is competitive with alternatives, synthetic chemicals, for example.
And you talked about something that was really, you know, cutting edge for you guys recently that you found out with your sustainability. Yeah. But let's talk also about how you come up with your ways to do the cross-pollination too, because it's very, very eco-friendly.
Okay, well, let's talk about sustainability first. We're in an age of sustainability. We can't continue to use things that are not renewable. And so I think it's down to all of us, not just governments and NGOs, but companies and individuals, to find ways of doing things in a renewable way. So we set out to find, of course, we can tell our customers that we're sustainable, but we have to prove that, and we have to have a third party come in and audit against a standard. And that's precisely what we did. We picked Scientific Certification Systems out of California because of their comprehensive adherence to those 2009 Sustainable Agriculture Initiative key points. And we've worked with them. It's been quite a journey. We're not finished yet. And we've had to go down right to the farmer level to look at improving the ways that we grow things to adhere to those standards so that we can actually say that we're sustainably grown. Today, over 50% of our rosemary production is sustainably grown. We will be at 100% by the beginning of the 2014 cropping year. And that allows us then to make a very bold statement about what we do and why that's important. So cross-pollination. You know, human fingers are very, very clumsy in dealing with a delicate flower like a rosemary flower. They're, first of all, very small. And then to be able to go in and make pollinations is quite difficult. Of course, bees have been doing this for millions of years. And so we basically bring them in. They go into a pollinating cage or a bee cage. They go ahead and do what they do best. And then we're able to capture the seed, and then we let the bees go. That seed then is a combination of the characteristics from both the parent plants that we've crossed in that particular bee cage. Yeah.
So we already know that you're the largest grower of marigolds, rosemary, mint. Where are you guys with that? And what are the functions? Like, what are you looking for with those?
Well, so rosemary, I think we're certainly one of the top growing rosemary growers as well. I don't think there are too many people or companies out there with 1,000 acres of rosemary. So where are we going with those? And it's the same with mint. We're developing new products every day with those molecules. So again, it comes back to the molecules themselves. We're looking for new applications, whether they be in human health, human personal care, applications in foods and beverages, applications outside nutrition altogether as well. We're starting to take a look at those. Protection of crop plants, for example, with molecules derived from plants, is kind of a neat way to look at recycling molecules and actually putting them back to do a job on a crop that they haven't come from, for example. So it's all about innovation, creating, you know, developing new ideas and looking for new applications of those molecules. So we expect acreages on both those two crops to continue to grow.
Well, again, I'm totally fascinated by what you're looking for and what you're finding. And I tweeted a little while ago, who knew marigolds could help with macular degeneration?
Yeah, I mean, that is a the biology itself there is phenomenal. To think that we have a 2-millimeter area at the back of the eye called the macula that has receptors that literally remove lutein from the bloodstream and accumulate it there to do the same job that it does in the plant. For me as a biologist, that's biologically remarkable that that actually happens. And the problem is today, as we advance, you know, we're looking for more convenient nutrition. And unfortunately, convenient nutrition doesn't always carry the key nutrients required for healthy living. And so to be able to take something like lutein as a dietary supplement, to be able to refortify that macula, helps all of us at the end of the day make sure that we go into the later years of life with all of our senses, and particularly our key one, sight, being intact. So that's amazing.
How do consumers know if there is a Kemin Industries product or molecule in whatever they're consuming?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Well, let's take lutein, for example, initially. Now, we have our trademark Floraglow lutein that's present on many of the products themselves. So if you go and you look for, if you go into Walgreens, for example, or Walmart and into the dietary supplements section and you look for lutein, or you look for any of the eye health products, you'll tend to find there, if it contains lutein, it's highly likely that it's come from us. And many of those brands will contain the Floraglow lutein logo on there as well. So that's one example. For the rest of the products, you know, typically you don't know that they're there. That's why it's fun at Kemin. We touch 1.7 billion lives a day, and those lives simply don't know that we're there touching them. I mean, we're in everything from pet food to the meat, milk, and eggs that are consumed, to the bread that is consumed. We're in topical lotions. You know, it's just part of helping our customers make sure that their products perform and behave in the way that they want them to. And so, we're not a consumer company, so people just simply don't know about what we do most of the time.
Well, thank you so much, John Greaves. I greatly appreciate it and look forward to learning more about your research.
Yeah, you are very welcome. Thanks for coming today.